We now come to the issue of novelty. Novelty is that which is opposed to tradition, since novelty by nature supplants or contradicts the tradition. Novelty is bad, because it breaks the continuity of the tradition. Since our salvation depends upon the tradition, continuity and tradition by which the means of salvation are passed on from generation to generation, and to the most people as possible, is imperative. Moreover, the continuity of tradition ensures that each generation will inherit the wealth of the patrimony of the saints. One of the best writers on the topic of novelty is St. Vincent of Lorraine, in his work called the Commonatorium. St. Vincent provides the following principle to begin the discussion of novelty. He essentially established that the principle of judgment about what we are to believe is that which we have received from, quote, our holy ancestors and fathers, unquote. In effect, it is the tradition, that is, that which has been handed on to us, which constitutes what we are to believe. For there is no aspect of what we believe as Catholics that was not passed on to us from those who went before us. When novelty arises, confusion ensues. One of the effects of novelty or heresy is that it tends not to clarify what the Church has always believed, but to confuse the faithful. If a member of or some members of the magisterium deny or contradict a traditional teaching of the Church, great confusion will afflict the faithful until the teaching is reaffirmed with clarity. We may say that if a pope were to do so, it would cause the greatest of confusions, since it is the office of the papacy above all, that is, to guarantee the clarity of what is taught in the Church and the continuity of the tradition. What then are the principles by which one can detect whether something is a novelty? St. Vincent observes that when something is passed on, beginning with the ancestors coming to our day, quote, this rather should be the result. There should be no discrepancy between the first and the last, unquote. The core teachings of the tradition should remain the same from the time of the death of the last apostle until now. Therefore, if there is any contradiction between what the tradition has always held and the new teaching, then the teaching is a novelty and is to be rejected. The new teaching will contradict some formally defined teaching, or some part of the creed. For example, if one were to say that Christ became incarnate and did not resurrect, that would be contrary to the line of the creed which states that he rose from the dead. Therefore, Christological reincarnation would be a novelty. Another form of determining whether a teaching is a novelty is when it is a teaching that has never heretofore been taught, that is, it is a completely new doctrine. Here we are not talking about valid conclusions drawn from traditional teachings, but one which has no real connection as such to the teachings. For example, if one were to assert that there is an eighth sacrament, one would know that this teaching is a novelty. Authentic development of doctrine always provides a clear understanding of the constant teaching of the Church. Novelty does not, as we saw in the quote from St. Vincent. Therefore, one of the ways in knowing that a teaching is a novelty is if it leads to greater confusion among the faithful. While this is not a hard and fast rule, since sometimes abstract but valid conclusions in theology can lead some faithful who are not very knowledgeable or intelligent confused, leave them confused. Nevertheless, a novelty never begets clarity of intellectual vision regarding the teachings of the Church. Another way to know whether something is a novelty is the effect it has on the spiritual lives of those who follow the novelty. If the new teaching makes people holier, then more than likely it is an authentic development. For example, St. John of the Cross's doctrine on the detachment is a greater clarification of the teachings known since the time of Christ or even before. But a novel teaching will tend to adversely affect one's spiritual life. For example, if one were to propose that the precious blood should be poured down the sacrarium, or back into the jug containing wine rather than reverently consumed, this would be a sacrilegious practice, a novelty, and harmful to people's faith in the real presence and harmful to them spiritually. So if the teaching is a clarification, it will help people to lead more Catholic lives than before, whereas if it is a novelty, it will erode people's spiritual lives. St. Vincent provides another principle to determine whether something is a novel teaching. And that is when the terminology changes, that is, when people use new words. Great care must be taken regarding this principle, however, for there have been times in history when new words were introduced which actually clarified the teaching. For example, the word transubstantiation was a term coined by the theologians of the 12th century about 1150. This term greatly clarified the reality of the change of substance in the Eucharist. But at other times, authors will introduce new terms which actually reflect a heretical mind. For example, the terms transubstantiation was a theological term introduced which denied that there was a substantial change in the Eucharist, but merely a change in meaning to those attending Mass. St. Paul in his first epistle to Timothy says, quote, O Timothy, guard the deposit, avoiding profane novelties of words and oppositions of science falsely so called, unquote. Those introducing novelties will often use pseudoscience in order to undermine the traditional teaching so that there is no opposition to the introduction of the novel teaching. They will use a false science or a false conclusion from a science in order to contradict some teaching of the tradition. For example, the use of Darwinian evolutionary theory is often used as a means of undermining the tradition teaching of all men descending from Adam and Eve, and therefore the doctrine of original sin. The novel teaching is called polygenesis, and it was condemned by Pius XII. The scientific foundations for Darwinian evolution are clearly in question, and there is question as to whether it is truly scientific as a theory. These are some of the means by which we can know whether a teaching is a novelty or not. Even though we must be on guard against novelty, we must also accept the clearly traditional understanding that over the course of time, members of the Church have given greater precision to the expression of certain doctrines through theological endeavors. What rejection of novelties does mean, however, is that the members of the Church, particularly the Magisterium, must be on guard against heresy and novelties, and changes must follow authentic Catholic principles. True intellectual advance is only possible by the passing on of tradition, not only in theology but in all fields of science. If the prior generation had never passed on to the current generation any of the knowledge that they had of the empirical sciences, we would not enjoy the knowledge of the empirical sciences that we do today. In like manner, in theology, we must stand on the shoulders of our predecessors, use the advances they made, so that we can continue the advance. If we do not do so, we run the risk of intellectual stagnation and ignorance. The virtue of faith will help us to see the greatness of our forefathers and the theological work they did, such as St. Thomas, St. Augustine, and all the doctors of the Church. When tradition is rejected, one rejects the work that was already accomplished. The homogeneous development is rejected, and our understanding of the faith is lessened. Therefore, the science of theology can only advance when theologians stand on the theological work and accomplishments of the saints and build upon that work. This is why we must look at the deposit of faith through the eyes of the past. While it is possible for the theological precision to increase our understanding of some aspect of faith, and the Church has defined doctrines which gives greater clarity and which settles disputes, that judgment is still done by looking back to the tradition for the foundation of those judgments. The Magisterium is the proximate rule of our faith, insofar as we are to believe what they propose. But the Magisterium is bound to the tradition which is the remote rule of faith. When the proximate rule is manifestly in error, as in the case of John the 22nd, the remote rule remains the primary principle of judgment. Namely, or normally, one knows the remote rule by means of the proximate rule, since the official organ of tradition is the Magisterium. However, it is possible under certain circumstances for particular members, not the whole, of the Magisterium to lapse into error, and in those cases the faithful must be knowledgeable about the remote rule, that is, the tradition of the prior magisterial teachings, in order that they do not fall into the error of whichever member of the Magisterium falls into error. In the next homily, we will talk about the recouping of the tradition.